Nobody's listening, right? Is this thing on?
Thanks for attending my TED Talk.
I arrive neither early nor late. I arrive precisely when I mean to.
You still exist the other 51 weeks out of the year, people.
True story.
I'm alive.
Yeah.
I'm awake. I stop at that point.
God, I'm terrible at this.
You're amazing, Jim.
I am a radio genius.
I am always pretty.
For radio.
And bring me coffee.
I already had a poo talk and it's only 7:50.
Does not seem like something that should be legal.
Jim and Tommy in the morning.
Good morning, folks. Good morning. What is this, day five? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Friday.
Yeah.
You can tell it's getting late in the week. It takes a lot of thought to do the simple math.
So. Who am I and where am I at? What?
Yes. Why are you in my bedroom? All too true this morning. I did not want to get out of bed.
Nope.
It was really chilly in the campground. Really, yeah. Really chilly.
Yeah, it was colder than predicted, and not to steal the thunder from our meteorology people.
Sure. No, don't applaud that, Alan. Alan's in the booth this morning. Morning, Alan.
Yeah, weather forecast temperatures are coming down just a little bit, for those of us in the campground, notice that it was chillier than predicted. It was like almost 10 degrees colder last night than was predicted, which is a pretty big swing for accuracy and this stuff. It's currently still 54 degrees. And
that would explain my legs wearing shorts riding on a golf cart are still numb. A little chilly.
I did opt for the heavier sleeping bag / blanket. So, which, to be honest, it's meant for like cold weather camping. So
sure.
It's almost always too much, and
not so much last night.
Probably
would have been okay.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was necessary, and per usual, any parts that you leave sticking out, toes and otherwise, get way too cold. So. Yeah,
that's how I regulate temperature. By the way, I will stay up under a blanket up to my neck, and then slowly, stick one leg out
and trying to adjust temperature just a little bit,
just a little bit, because the blood will get cold down there and then recirculate, mix with the rest. Yeah.
Well, the problem is that the temperature differential is like too much, then so you got the
Can't quite feel my foot
out there. That's hoping to regulate your temperature. It's actually just freezing off. It's now numb. So,
yeah. Well, that's why I stay out of the Arctic, I guess.
Well, I grew up in the Arctic, so
that's not entirely untrue.
Yes,
maybe a slight stretch, but not so much.
Our friends in Canada might disagree, but
yes.
Although
we've insulted Canada enough this week, so maybe we.
Oh, wait for it. I got more. No, the area in which I'm from, extreme north Minnesota, International Falls area. That's
where Rocky and Bullwinkle are from.
Home. Right? Yes, actually, Frostbite Falls. That's the Rocky and Bullwinkle place. Mm-hmm. There's things all over that town about that. The winter our town carnival or town festival thing is held in the middle of winter. It's the Frostbite days and yeah.
Cool.
But anyway. That area, hello, and I'm back.
I'm here to do radio.
Yeah, that area of northern Minnesota, if you go from about Brainerd and a little bit north all the way to the bottom of Hudson Bay, that little zone is actually colder than if you get farther north in other areas on either side of it with the way the weather systems work. I mean, if you get up, like Yellowknife or something like that up in the extreme north side of Canada. No, I mean, but we've got this little band that is pretty ridiculously cold. So, yes, I grew up with stacks of blankets.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I can. It's not fun. other thing that I will say, thank you and damn it to our Canadian friends about this morning. I don't did. Wow, where did my voice go? Did you notice when on the way in that we have a very lovely sunrise happening? In fact, we have some pictures of the sunrise coming up over the Brown Arch this morning.
I did not notice that.
Do you know why it's so pretty?
Why, Jim? Why is it so pretty?
Damn Canadian fires again.
We got a nice orange or something going on? Or,
Not nearly as bad as it was last year, but it was most definitely there. And the thus far, I'm trying to get the information up on here, and it's not quite giving me the right info, but thus far it appears that the Canadian smoke this year is being held in the upper atmosphere, which I believe to be why it's not quite as affecting us here on the ground quite as much, but it's also potentially why we're seeing the temperature forecast drop just a little bit, because we've got a smoke filter on. Is that a thing? You know, I don't know. Essentially, it's acting like an upper level cloud level. So
gotcha.
So thanks and no thanks, Canada. Speaking of Canadians, I'm not done with them yet.
Oh, I thought you were going to mention the poo truck. And I was going to say, that's insulting. How dare you?
Right. It's not the poo truck, it's poutine. No.
Wow.
Hey, I'm a lover of cheese.
And dad jokes, apparently. And,
hey, I'm qualified. Out on Boeing Plaza, we have two fancy-looking F-18s from the Canadian Air Force. They came in yesterday. And I believe that they had some of their crews chatting at Theater in the Woods last night. One of the things that we're celebrating this year at EAA Rancher is the 100th anniversary of the Royal Canadian Air Force. Mm-hmm. You know, my daughter, of course, as kids do, asked, like, oh, they're 100 years old. How old's the American Air Force, Dad? I'm like, well, that's complicated.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Why does it look like we didn't have an Air Force until the 50s? Well... Mm-hmm. We did, just didn't call it that.
Yep.
But we have the folks in the Canadian Air Force out there. Did you notice that there was somebody kindly gave us a wake-up call at just the right moment this morning?
No.
At exactly 5:30, some large jet came in. I say jet, it had to have been a commercial something or other, or maybe even a large military something.
Okay.
But it came in and landed, and it hit the thrust reversers, 5:30 a.m.
Really?
Yeah. I'm suspicious of the military, because I don't think anybody else would be able to get into this place at this time.
Probably not. No, I did not notice that, but that's a testament to just how well I can sleep. So.
Well, at 5:30, you should have been up, buddy. That's 40 minutes ago.
I got up at 5:30. Well, I got out of bed at 5:35, 5:37, I think. Yeah. Exact. But yes. I didn't catch that this morning. Yeah, or I just wasn't lucid enough to understand.
It was almost exactly 5:30, because my alarm went off. I grabbed my phone, and then I heard that thrust reverser hit.
Well, I don't see anything new since last night at Boeing Plaza, but they could be they could be parking it elsewhere for staging for the show or something
like that.
You know, but any number of things.
Yes. So the weather forecast is, like I say, trending a little bit, chillier. We were supposed to be at about 65 degrees overnight last night. We were at 54. Our daytime high today was supposed to be into the mid-80s. We're looking at a forecasted daytime high right now of 79.
Wow.
So, for those of us that have to stick around a little bit after the show, the percentages of rain for Sunday night into Monday have come down a little bit.
Oh, thank goodness. Let's just keep trending that way. That'd be great.
It's only 30% rain that'll be falling on you.
Yeah, I mean, I get up early.
The rest of it,
don't want to pack up on Sunday night. So.
I don't want to pack a wet tent.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
That's the thing. Get me the tent in, and then we'll move on.
Yep.
There's nothing worse than rolling up a wet tent and then have to get it home and then unrolling that musty mess before it starts to mold.
Yep. Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah. We bought a yard, a house rather, with a yard. I'm trying to figure out which part of the yard I can actually set up my tent. Granted, our tent is big, but it's a small yard. So right. That'll be fun.
Yes. My kids would love that. They hate my size of my yard. I've got a gigantic yard, and they'll remind me, and 11 trees. We have to mow around 11 trees.
We're so close to the neighbors. we have a half bath on the first floor, right, with a with a window up high, like a small 2-foot by 2-foot window, probably around 4.5 feet up, 5 feet up, I'd say, just to offer light to the half bath. Yeah. Cool. If I'm standing while using the facilities, as many of us do with our set of equipment,
right,
I could stare into the neighbor's living room, into the house. I have to look to the right a little bit, but not much. So I asked Andrea if she'd very nicely put some like frost film on there, because I really don't want to do that. I feel like I'm definitely violating some law. So, yes, it's really nice when I have to mow, but there are disadvantages there.
Fair.
To that small yard.
Fair. All right. So we'll have more detailed weather forecast with Pat at 7:30. No,
7.
7.
That's what it is. Yep.
One of these days I'll figure out our schedule.
Yep. I goofed it yesterday. I was very confused as when Pat was coming in. I swapped him in weather. So speaking, or him in news, rather. Speaking of news, news is up at now? Next? After the break?
Nope. 6:30. Done. We have one more break.
6:30 to 7. Yeah, that's right. Math is hard, especially clock math.
I thought I was going. Like,
no, it was so comfy this morning, Jim. I really didn't want to get up. All right, I'm going to go take a little nap. We'll be right back. This is the Morning Preflight on EA Radio.
Wake up with your aviation experts, Tommy and Jim.
Oh, there's some planes flying over. I'm sure the mics are picking that up. What was that?
Big round something.
It's the Morning Preflight on EAA Radio.
Confirming air quality index data is actually good because the smoke is up high. So there you go.
Cool.
So now you know.
The more you know.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah. But, again, makes for some pretty sunrise-sunset pictures.
Certainly does.
Yeah.
I wanted to stop today and try to get the sunrise at Boeing.
Oh, yeah.
Because the B-52 is still parked there.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be permanent resident for the week at this point. So.
Yeah, that's kind of what it sounded like when we talked to Dick yesterday. It's just so... I can't fit it into a picture. Like, the... The tents in the booth start to get in the way of the wingtips because it's so long.
Yeah. Well, that's the challenge with that one, is its wingspan is just ridiculous.
Well, and, you know, parking it there. I mean, yeah, you can walk under wings of some of the other big metal in Boeing Plaza, although there's plenty they don't let you walk under, you know, they have roped off. You don't really have a choice if you wanted to leave Boeing Plaza to the west.
You're going to walk under that
aircraft.
You're
walking under it. As we did... when we left the station on Wednesday night, after the night air show and after shutting down the station. So
And they've got the flaps down.
Yeah.
Which sometimes makes it more challenging.
Yes, and the wheels are down on the, you know, the
outriggers.
Outriggers, which was fun. I walked by, and of course, you know, some idiot had to, like, play with the wheel, and it was spinning because...
Okay, so it was off the ground at the moment.
Yes, it was. Both of them were, so... Mm-hmm. So it was, a little odd. Cool, but a little odd.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something noisy out there. Yeah, a lot of propellers.
Yeah. Going out early. That's right. If I remember rightly, there was... I saw something posted that they were going to only allow departures between 6 and 8 a.m. to try and open up some space.
Yes, I can confirm that was
an propeller. Airplane? Okay. Good job, Tommy. Good job. That's a P-51.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what the last one was, or something. Sure,
first one was.
Something similar, but yeah, they're busy out there right now.
Go.
Yeah.
You know,
stop listening to us. Go look at that. That's way cooler.
Truth. But again, if you want those nice orange glowy pictures, this is actually kind of a good moment to go catch those airborne.
So. And their droning sounds much more pleasant than ours. So.
Yeah. A
little bit.
All right.
What's up today? What do we...
So a few of the standards. You know, we have the theoretical balloon inflation and
you're just giving up now. Theoretical. Well, I don't like. Usually, I didn't see it go off yesterday.
Yeah, that's the thing. Usually, we can see it happening on the ultralight cam because it should typically pan far enough over for that. It just either they've moved where it's at and the cams aren't catching it, or something because the conditions for the last 2 days have been just perfect for it. So, yeah. Same thing with the power parachutes down at the Fun Fly Zone. Let me see here. Today's Friday, correct? Today would be the day, I dare say maybe the last day, to be able to catch the Twilight Flight Fest thing. The night air show at the Fun Fly Zone, whatever you want to call that, because they don't do it on days that have a night show, a big night show. Mm-hmm. So that means Saturday's out, and Sunday, the only show happening Sunday night is usually in the campground when everything's done. So I think that tonight is going to be the last night to try and catch that. And if you've never done, you must do. You've got the stall competition that's impressive as heck. You've got the powered parachutes that they do there. They had that, wow, name is escaping me, the VTOL vertical takeoff vehicle. That
which one?
I know, exactly. I think it's called VTOL.
Okay.
Remember, really. It's one that's got like 8 engines on the front and 8 engines on the back, and then it takes
it just,
off.
Does it just kind of rock?
No.
Like on its belly? Well, or
Yeah, it does to take off. It's
an automatic. Are you thinking of the Blackfly?
No.
The Blackfly is like that. All right. It's got that kind of boat like bottom.
Move this up. They have a simulator, flight simulator for it at their booth. And our Chef Peggy is going to go find them and take that for a virtual spin, as it were.
Cool.
But that was part of the show down there at the Fun Fly Zone in the evenings. You have, depending on the day, they also have a few other things that often happen, including some parachute drops and drone shows and all sorts of cool things that look pretty neat at night. So,
very cool.
Yeah, it's something that is specifically different, but also very, very cool happening down at the Fun Fly Zone in the evenings when there's good weather and not a night show. So that limits what we've been able to see so far this week. I think tonight is the night to go do that. I'm predicting the crowd is going to be ridiculous. So
very cool.
So that's going on, but that's later on tonight. Of course, our evening air show.
Air show. They show off their wares.
Yes, exactly.
There you go.
But there is, you know, the typical pieces of that.
Sure.
And then during the day, random things happening in the forums. Check your schedule. There's too many to mention there. A few that I'm looking at. Building your panel, 10,000 choices. Yes. I'm shopping for a new panel for the 172.
So gotcha.
It's going to be expensive.
Careful, your wife's outside, by the way.
yeah. But, yeah, looking at the options there, I've only got one official quote so far from a very reputable company. And damn.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But this is what happens. You don't update your plans since 1968.
Somebody is glaring at you.
I know.
But I made eye contact. Don't look.
Yeah. So I'm definitely looking into those kind of things.
Speaking of forums, our very own Fareed will be speaking at Forum 7 today, I believe.
Right. Yeah. And that's one of many forums that have had something to do with mental health, you know, flying and mental health professionals and mental health, you know, professional flight, and the impact on your medical and, I mean, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, there's lots of options for that kind of stuff. And, yes, we do have our own Fareed Gio going to be in doing that stuff. Yeah.
Speaking of things going on during the day, a bunch of interesting interviews we got lined up for this day's programming. The Hot Start Boys are going to talk to the Switchblade people.
Nice.
Samson Sky. Their CEO and founder is going to stop by around 9:15 this morning. From the stand, Steve Buss is talking to Lieutenant General Linda Hurry, the Deputy Commander of the Air Force Material Command.
Nice.
That'll be cool. They've had a huge presence here this year. Mm-hmm. So that'll be pretty neat. Also talking to astronaut Randy Bresnik. So
when we first heard, you know, because they always have like one of the, you know, command areas that is kind of the focus.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard it was going to be the Material Command, at first I was like, what's cool about that?
There's some pretty cool stuff.
Well, no, what we found out is, oh, look, it's a little bit of everything.
Yep. They are the jack of all trades one. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll accept that.
Speaking of cool guests up there, if that wasn't enough already, also talking to General Mike Minnie. I'm going to screw this up. Nice. I apologize, General. Minihan.
Okay.
Who's the commander of the Air Mobility Command. So, a lot of big brass up there today. Kind of cool. Fareed is talking to what is his title? Executive Director of the Seaplane Pilots Association. Yeah. That's in the 11 o'clock hour. And Jim Achi will be out at the Fun Fly Zone today. So come check us out. Be there starting at 1 o'clock right through that hour. So
nice. I shan't speak its name, but just so we get some reaction here, Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
There's how much it costs to replace the panel in a 172.
Oof. Oof. That's pretty close to the down payment on the house I just bought. So
that's
I put a substantial down payment down. So just say, or we did, I should say.
Yeah.
My goodness, that's a lot.
It is icky,
but yes, it is. Yeah. I'm just checking out the texting board. If you want to chime in, 920-550-1210 comes right into the studio. Send them away. We can't really stop you. Friday, Duck Rattan. I'm only doing this because I know who sent it. 11:30. And then the very next text message, Dick not Duck. So,
got it.
There you go.
Why Beach didn't replace King Air with Starship? It's a good question.
Yeah. Well, you can find out today at 11:30 at Forum 7.
Yeah. So. I always thought that Starship should have just been a major thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a beautiful plane, exactly what it was designed to do, but it's cool to see it here.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
With all the other miscellaneous Rattan designs. There's a bunch of airplanes out there that I had no idea that he had a sand in. I mean, there's so many various Kennard design aircraft that you obviously, you know, I think it was the Quickie, you know, of course, that looks like a Rattan design.
And sure.
The Very Easy and the Long Easies and the all of those kind of things. And then there was a few that was like, huh, oh, really? Meh.
Cool.
Yes.
All right. Well, time to take her easy and take a break. This is the Morning Preflight on EA Radio.
Hey, Jim, what do you want to do this morning?
The same thing we do every morning, Tommy. Talk and hope we're not heard.
It's here the very day that cranky they complain. They try to entertain us a hopeless campaign. Each day they're all the nice, and then we hail the nice. Our daily dose of pain, 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 pain.
There we go. Wait for the flourish.
That's a hell of an introduction for Jay.
Hey,
Jay's in studio.
Why am I
welcome
causing
back
pain?
To the Morning Preflight. It's time for news with Jay. He also does news.
I also does news. And in doing the news is coming out of Eau Claire this morning. A pair of city council members in Eau Claire say they are appalled at the decision to remove the park benches and picnic tables from the local park where Eau Claire's homeless stay. Andrew Werthmann and Kate Felton yesterday said that they want to know what the plan is going forward. Eau Claire sent city crews to Wilson Park this week to remove the benches and tables as a way to deal with the growing number of homeless who are living in the park. City park crews say the homeless were getting aggressive and leaving needles all over the place. Werthmann says it's not enough just to remove the benches. He says that doesn't solve Eau Claire's homeless issues. He wants to know what the city is going to do to get the homeless to a place to stay.
Yeah, let's not fix a problem. Let's just exacerbate.
I love the they're leaving needles everywhere. It seems like a superlative type statement. So
yeah.
Coming out of Duluth, Minnesota, the St. Louis County in Minnesota won't be welcoming any new cannabis businesses for at least 5 months. The St. Louis County Board of Commissioners wants more time to figure out how to regulate cannabis businesses and determine how they will impact the community. The moratorium applies to the entire county, including cities and towns with their own zoning authority. This week's vote comes as the state opens the cannabis business license window for pre-approved social equity applicants.
Pre-what?
Pre-approved social equity applicants. Did I flutter?
Okay. It could be my ears. Who knows?
I'm going to go with
that. You said pre-approved. It's that time of morning.
Do you ever buy some pre-approved pants? Save yourself some time.
No.
Who was that? I think an ad for Kmart. I could ship my pants, right?
You could what?
You could ship things.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. I definitely heard a different word there. Too.
I did too. I was like,
my brain filled in the blank. Like, what are you doing, Jim? You know?
Yeah,
$20 of things that you could buy
like
online
a boat,
now.
So a boat.
You could ship the bed.
Now that you have seen that.
In Baraboo, an Illinois man is looking at drunk driving charges and possibly more after he left his girlfriend behind at the Wisconsin Dells this week. The State Patrol stopped 57-year-old Kenneth Thompson Wednesday night in Madison. Troopers say he was drunk and had 9 kids riding in his fifth-wheel camper.
You guys just spit on Jim's laptop.
Thank you.
Jesus.
Police in the Dells say Thompson left his girlfriend at the Kalahari Resort after they got into a fight. He's not facing charges for the fight, but he could face kidnapping charges because police say he took off with his girlfriend's kids in the camper. He was booked into the Sauk County Jail on operating while intoxicated and reckless endangering safety charges.
Yeah. I shouldn't laugh at any of this, but
I don't think it's legal to travel with people in a fifth wheel camper.
That's where the endangering.
Yeah,
I mean, take the DUI out of it. Hauling 9 kids around in a unsecured camper
while you're drinking.
Yeah,
and kidnapping them. Right. I just assumed they were his kids because he took off with them right up till that line in the story. So
I'm gonna guess there's probably a combination of. Some of the girlfriends, some of his.
Maybe.
Well, some of these kids are mine. I'm not sure which. We're just taking them all.
Take them all, and I'll sort them out later.
Right.
Coming out of Madison, Wisconsin's Department of Natural Resources is offering a discount to get people to buy new endangered resources license plates. The state is updating the design, going from the basic red and white license plate with a wolf on the side to a new full-color plate that features a bald eagle going after a fish. The DNR is offering a $25 rebate to anyone who buys the new plates. That could be either people who are a first-time endangered resource plate customer or people who want to replace their old plates. You don't need to wait for your specialty plates to be renewed in order to buy the new ones. You can order them at any time. You can find more at more out at the DMV or the DMV's website.
Cool.
See, in Minnesota, we've got the new fancy blackout plates.
Yes, you do.
Yes. That have been so popular that they're concerned that everybody's like it's going to become more than our standard plates.
Well, that's what I thought because all the Minnesota contingent that rolls out here for EA Radio this year, I looked. I'm like, did Minnesota get new plates since I've been gone?
Well, there's kind of this like absolutely untrue but somewhat true thing of everybody's getting the new blackout plates because they think that they're cool and better than everybody else. I will say that I was one of the first to get it. I got them in January. Just saying, I was a thought leader in that area.
Jim, no. You influencer, you.
I said, yes. Well, it started out as most of the people that were going for it usually had either a black or a white vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So then the blackout plates actually looked a lot better on your vehicle. I, of course, have a black vehicle.
Of course.
So that was the going theory, and then it became the, oh, well, all the people are getting the fancy new thing. I want the new thing. And it's not that expensive to do. It's on like $40, I think it was. Was it $40?
I know it's a specialty plate, but does like it go to a cause? Like, I know some of the DNR plates go to like the DNR.
It goes to the cause of the tax coffers of the state. It doesn't anything in particular. And it's really, in my case, honestly, the reason I did it was every 5 years you have to replace plates.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So
In Minnesota.
So I had to replace the plates. So I have a black car. I'm going to replace the plates. Hey, let's put the blackouts on.
That makes sense to me.
Gotcha. We have black plates now, too, in Wisconsin, but ours are specific. They're not just blackout plates. They're one of the different specialty plates. And I'm seeing a lot more of them now, mm-hmm. even among people who I know don't care about what the plate is about.
Yeah.
It's Elkhart Lakes Road America. It's a racetrack.
Okay.
And it's black, and then it has like the white, you know, overview outline of the race course itself, like on there. They look pretty cool. Particularly, again, if you have a black or white car, but they can look cool on other ones as well. I have a gray one. I think they look cool on there, but mm-hmm. I'm also lazy. So. Yeah. and cheap. I don't want to pay for that.
Right. Yeah, I think that Minnesota has 11 different plates now.
Oh, I think Wisconsin has more than that when I looked. Yeah. There's a lot.
I don't know. I'm looking at it right now, Jay.
Iowa is one that baffles me, and I can't understand the reason why. You can get darn near any color. I've tried to figure out what, like, the difference, like, oh, is this a county-by-county thing, or is, you know, what it was? But it doesn't seem to be, but you drive. I do a lot of business in Iowa, drive around there, and there is all sorts of colors.
Well, because doesn't Iowa also do, like, county-specific plates?
They do county-specific plates, but it's not color-tied.
That's fair.
You know?
Good point.
But, yeah, so evidently your license plate color is now a status symbol?
Yeah.
And if so, sure. I'm on top. Ha-ha.
Again.
I'll look down at you silly people with influencer your Land of 10,000 Lakes plates.
Coming out of Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, a couple of men from Texas are accused of attempting to rob an ATM in Brooklyn Park. Zachary Terrell of Houston and Ryan Powell of Humble are charged with felony simple robbery. Powell was also charged with fleeing a peace officer in a motor vehicle. Police say the pair took $215,000 from a technician who was servicing a Wells Fargo ATM. The suspects left the scene in a white van while wearing ski masks. Police later located the van and arrested Terrell and Powell. The stolen cash was found inside the vehicle.
Hmm. I was going to say, getting in the cash in an ATM is nearly impossible, but they got it while it was open.
Yeah.
I get it.
That makes it easy.
Somebody doing some work.
News update. Over 60 different plate varieties in Wisconsin.
Wow.
I lost count after 60.
So. Nice.
Yeah, there's a lot. Jay, you're not wrong. I was shocked at how many. I haven't seen
but
three
a simple
quarters
blackout
of them,
is not one of them?
No, a simple blackout is not. The closest thing is that Elkhart Lake one, which is black with white letters, and then that silhouette of the...
Because that is one of the more common ones you see states offering nowadays.
And I'm not sure if the money like goes to Elkhart, you know.
Right.
I don't know. I have no idea. I tried to look into it. DMV is not telling, or DOT is not telling me. So.
Right.
And for the final story for this segment, coming out of Dalmatia, Pennsylvania, in honor of our friends Digital Dave and Fest. Digital Dave and Fest Eddie's neck of the woods, maybe. I don't know, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania man is being accused of setting his home on fire to prevent it from being sold. Authorities in North Cumberland County say Andrew Suter intentionally set the house in Lower Mahoney Township on fire late last month. The same day, it was scheduled for a sheriff's sale. Suter reportedly owed more than $100,000 on the home and was charged in January with writing more than $45,000 in fraudulent checks to his landlord. He's facing felony charges for the fire.
Oh. So it wasn't really even his house.
No, it sounds like he was. It sounds like he was renting it and bouncing checks while he was doing it.
That's just a really bitter guy.
Wow.
I can't have her, no one can.
It's also a little weird. The story says it prevents it from being sold by all accounts, but then that he was paying his landlord for it. So I know there are certain loans out there that will allow, my stepbrother did one where you pay like it's rent, but it's really going towards the purchase of mm-hmm. the home from the person.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think they folks do it for smaller homes.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's one of those situations I wasn't able to find much.
Yeah, I can't recall what those are called, but I am aware of them. So yeah, that would have been much smarter, but you're also talking about a person who thought that burning down the house was a better idea. So
burning down the house.
Thank you. More singing up next. This is the Morning Preflight on EA Radio.
It's annual radio professionals Jim and Tommy with the Morning Preflight.
I had to mute my mic because I was going to swear.
Right here on EAA Radio.
More license plate talk here on EA Radio.
Yes. We spent much of the break talking about that. So that was fun.
There's way too many of them. That's what we've determined.
Yes. Way too many.
Facts. So, Jay.
Getting back into more national perspective this morning, coming out of New York, Southwest Airlines is getting rid of its open seating system. For the first time in history, the low-fare carrier will move to assigned seating, allowing it to charge a premium for some seats on its planes. According to Southwest, when customers switch to one of their competitors, the number one reason they cite is Southwest's open seating policy. It will also begin to offer overnight red-eye flights for the first time. Coming out of Moscow, Idaho, which confused me the first time I read it, the attorneys for Brian Koberger have filed a motion for a change of venue. Koberger is charged with the murders of four University of Idaho students. Defense attorneys say Koberger can't get a fair trial in Moscow, and they want the trial to be held in Boise instead. Prosecutors oppose the move, saying the coverage has been widespread enough that the change won't make a difference in the jury pool. A hearing on the change of a venue motion will be held late next month. The trial is set to begin in June of 2025. I kind of agree with that. I think that case is a little, especially in Idaho where there's nothing else going on, probably a little too tainted of a jury pool to warrant switching unless you're moving out of state somewhere for it.
Well, yeah, out of state, like way out of state. I mean, the thing is when big things happen, saying that we can't do the trial right here because of a tainted jury pool here. Okay, we're living in the
information
internet, so you can move to another neighboring county and it's not going to make any difference, you know, likely a neighboring state, and still will have heard about this. You know, you're not going to get a pristinely clean, you know, pool available for it. It's just not going to happen.
Not possible anymore. Pixar's Inside Out 2 is now the top-grossing animated film of all time at the global box office.
Saw that coming.
On Tuesday, it finished with over $1.46 billion, just to surpass fellow Disney film Frozen 2 for the top spot.
Oh.
The film also passed Barbie on Monday to climb to the number 13 on the list of all-time grossing films.
Yeah. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I did.
How was it?
It was good.
It was good. It was
me and Megan once saw it.
I want to see it. We haven't gotten around to it. I enjoyed the first one.
So. Yeah, and that's the thing is I still think the first one's a little bit better.
Slightly different cast. They replaced a couple of people.
Yeah, and it's still a pretty good core, though.
Yeah,
it's fair. Know.
But it was absolutely a good film. It was what the industry needed at the moment when it was released. That didn't have a lot of competition to it.
Sure.
It was the fastest animated film to ever hit $1 billion. We saw that happening. And with its trajectory, it was just a matter of time before it was going to take that top spot. There was no doubt.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of the success at the box office can be that whole right place, right time.
Good planning, so much of it.
Based on what else is coming out. And, you know, if there's not much in the way of kids' movies at a certain time, the only one in town is going to excel, so.
Right place, right time. I got to look up what movie this actually was. There is the, I want to say it was an Adam Sandler film.
Okay.
That had a huge opening weekend because the trailer for it was the only movie that had the trailer for the new Star Wars that was coming out, and so many people were coming in paying a ticket price to watch the trailer because it wasn't available on the internet, so they're coming in watching the trailer and then leaving.
Really?
And it wound up with like this hugely inflated number of box office.
That's
numbers
funny.
People that didn't actually see the movie. So
the San Diego Zoo in California is asking visitors to not show gorillas videos on cell phones. Mm-hmm. It's apparently become a problem at zoos across the country, including the world-famous San Diego location. The Wall Street Journal says people are getting gorillas addicted to watching videos on phones and iPads through the glass enclosures. Gorillas and humans share 98% of their DNA, and just like humans, they can have too much screen time, altering their behavior.
Suddenly they're watching a bunch of Minecraft videos. I see it coming.
The last thing we need to do is give us gorilla tools.
On Minecraft videos. There it is.
The zoo says they do not condone and strongly discourage playing the gorillas the videos.
Nice.
No Minecraft for you.
What the heck? You can't throw them marshmallows. You can't throw them cigarettes. Now you can't
throw them videos. Children. Rest in peace, Harambe. That one is for a much younger generation. It's probably listening to us this morning.
You know, some will get it. I got it.
You're a little, yeah, you're, he's you're old. Hip, you're so. Cool.
Thanks.
Coming out of Houston, Texas, doctors at the Texas Heart Institute say they have successfully implanted a valveless artificial heart into a human. The procedure was performed at Baylor St. Luke's Medical Center in Houston. The implant from Bivacor is made of titanium and features a rotary pump with a single moving part. The rotor that pumps the blood is suspended in a non-contact position by magnets. The device was installed as part of a feasibility study by the USDA. The Bivacor Total Artificial Heart is expected to be used on patients with severe heart failure while they await a transplant. Mm-hmm. Now that the first implantation is complete, four other patients will be offered the chance to participate in the study of the device.
I saw an interview one time with somebody that had had experienced a heart-lung bypass and had that condition where you're awake during what it looks like, you know,
sedation. Out-of-body experience?
Well, sure. Well, it's you look to be sedated, but you're actually conscious. There's that. There's a certain percentage of the population that happens with. Mostly redheads, by the way. But anyway.
It's the lack of soul.
Yeah. But
no.
The sensation
Jay's of... Jay's walking away from that one. Right.
The sensation of not having a heartbeat. You just got this little hum.
Sure.
Instead, you know, and it was a rather surreal moment from what I saw.
Gotcha. Yeah. I chuckled at the beginning of that story only because he started talking about magnets. And the only thing that popped in my head was Ludacris in the trailer for the Fast and the Furious movie. Now we mess with magnets?
Yeah.
That's a really interesting design, though, the valves being held shut by magnets. And that's really cool. I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
No, cool nowhere. Design. If it's suspended with magnets, there's no wear point.
Yeah, because you want to avoid trying to have to go in and
replace it after a couple of years. Yeah.
Right.
Metal filings probably not good in a bloodstream.
seems bad. Yes,
generally, yeah, discouraged.
I haven't, you know, partaken myself, but that seems like something I wouldn't want to.
Coming out of Columbus, Ohio, the Ohio Supreme Court has ruled against a man who claims he was injured after finding a chicken bone finding a bone in his boneless chicken wings. The case began in April of 2016 when Michael Berkheimer said a bone in his boneless wing he bought from Wings on Brookwood near Cincinnati had resulted in him not being able to work due to the bone tearing his throat. The court ruled Thursday that bones are a natural part of a chicken, so a consumer should be aware that even boneless wings might have a bone in them and that a consumer cannot sue over the issue.
Is this like the seedless watermelon that has a seed in it situation?
Yeah.
I remember lawsuits happening when that was...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I do not.
That's... When they start to be more of a thing, and it's like, there's this little white thing in there that says, you know,
sure.
A seed that never really developed, you know. And it's like, this is supposed to be seedless, and I see a seed.
Goodness.
Well, I mean, when you're expecting something that's ice cold and you get it at room temperature, it's burning hot. That one was specifically for our producer, Alan.
Yes.
Coming out of Concord, New Hampshire, the presidential campaign of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has sent out 100,000 fortune cookies to restaurants across New Hampshire. The cookies feature ads for Kennedy Jr. and his representatives say that he's trying to reach out to voters in a unique way, much like his father did when he ran for president. Each of the fortunes have a QR code inside them that leads to Kennedy's website. The campaign says it's considering sending out cookies to other parts of the country.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Just everything about that. Ugh. That's a terrible marketing campaign.
Is it though?
Well, I don't know. It's just, it's,
It's one of those bad
tacky.
Press.
It's tacky.
Whether it's really good or really bad, if it gets you recognized or acknowledged, even it probably
no
has
press
some value.
Is bad press.
Well, you can have bad press. Yeah. But I mean, somebody sending out a terrible marketing idea is probably not. You know?
Yeah, that's the, like, this is bad press, but it's good because we have press.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We've accomplished what we wanted to do with this piece either way.
Weird.
Where are we at? Okay, so two popular beaches in Los Angeles County remain closed after 15,000 gallons of untreated sewage leaked into the ocean. Venice Beach and Dockweiler State Beach are closed 1 mile to the north and south of Bologna Creek. Water samples were taken for testing on Monday. The beaches will stay closed for at least 48 hours until two consecutive tests show the water quality is back within state health standards. The sewage issue, which started Saturday, was caused by a broken water main pushing sand into a sewer line, causing a sewage backup.
Lovely.
Bologna Creek. That's fun.
That's plus, what you had out of that?
A lot of poo.
Yeah.
That's what I got out of it. A lot of poo.
We have the crews. We should send, like, we know how we send, like, relief firefighters and stuff for the wildfire. We can send.
Are you volunteering?
EA. No.
That was quick. That was quick.
Send the poo truck?
Yeah, so, I was going to say, we have a plethora.
A fleet of poo
plethora?
Plethora. Plethora. I said what I said.
Also, if you're not going to go help, what are you sending them exactly? Thoughts and prayers or what?
The poo truck that was out prayers, here literally 30 minutes ago. Yes.
Nothing cleans poop like thoughts and prayers. Well, you heard it here. Oh, my goodness.
That's what I got for you today.
Well, thank you, Jay. Much appreciated.
Thought I had a fun poo story and you just crapped all over it.
Oh, God. Ba-dum-bum. We really need one of those. We need a little... Need a button.
Soundboard.
Jim, I need a button for next year where I can, you know, button. No,
I'll load a soundboard.
I won't abuse that at all. Up next, Pat St. John with weather. You're listening to the Morning Preflight on EAA Radio.
EAA Radio's Patrick St. John is a meteorology enthusiast. Remember to personally evaluate the weather or obtain a weather briefing from Flight Service before you go flying.
I'm the only person not participating in the dance party right now. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Look, it's your lane. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll also take that.
Sunshine lollipops every day around here. that's all it is.
Nice. So we're joined by our liar in chief. Oh, I mean meteorology person, Pat St. John.
Rude.
I'm waiting to see what factoids he presents in his argument. I am the disinterested third party that
liar
is very interested.
Liar in chief. You know, the only people that can truly get everything wrong continuously and still keep their job, those are called economists.
Oh, okay.
So
I thought that was meteorologists.
No. Okay. Economists.
There's some heat
well,
on
you're,
either
you're
end
right
of the
next
table
to him. You're right next to him, buddy. So I will say you're in good company because the National Weather Service was agreeing with what you were telling us yesterday about the temperature forecasts, and turns out less so.
Yes.
The overnight low was almost 12 degrees lower than the predicted low.
That 50, is 56?
54.
54.
It's 54. Yeah. The predicted overnight low was 66.
Yeah, well, that was wrong. I knew it was going to be chilly last night.
Yeah. But it's rare that you see that much variation from the predicted temperature.
Someone messed up the model messed up.
I think it's the model messed up because it was consistent across there. Now, when I'm looking back at the National Weather Service data for the rest of the week, it now has adjusted everything significantly lower, which is like, yay.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, again, as I have said before, the dew point is probably the bottom out, right? If you get, you know, light variable winds, clear skies, that's just like in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. If there's nothing above you, no blanket, you're all the heat is gone.
Right.
Well, dew point is about the bottom up, and last night's dew point was about 54 degrees.
There you go.
Surprise, surprise. 54. So again, dew points, enjoy them. They're going to be, you know, still around low mid 50s dew points today. Tomorrow, about 10 degree higher dew point, 60, 66 degree dew points. So, you know, once you get around that temperature, that's the summer sticky. Mm-hmm. But today, about 55 degree dew points, and temperatures mid 80, you know, 79, 80, 81, something around there. Sunny skies. So, a fantastic day to be out for walking around the grounds, doing air show things. It'll be a great, great day today. Tomorrow will be great as well, just warmer. You know,
but only a little bit warmer. You were throwing around like upper 80s and 90 there.
Correct.
You know,
yes, it has come down a little bit.
Right.
I think maybe the, you know, warm swell of air hasn't quite made us weigh in as much mm-hmm. as it needed to. So,
what about that? So we had a discussion before you probably woke up this morning, which was like what, 10 minutes ago?
Come on, it was, you know, I have two young children. It was okay. Probably,
yeah,
like
I was gonna say,
okay,
he was fair. Probably up before us.
Good point. No, we were talking about the Canadian smoke situation because we had the beautiful orange,
it was a wonderful
glow
sunrise.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried to look up the data on it, but most of the data is based on air quality index. And down low here, the air quality is perfectly fine. But the smoke is hanging out up top there, giving us a little bit of a smoke filter.
Yep. So if you remember when the storm rolled through on, what was that? It feels like ages ago. I think it was Tuesday.
Right? Yeah.
Tuesday morning. It was a bit of smoke when you, throughout the day, mm-hmm. because the storm that rolled through brought some wind through, you know, turbulence throughout the column of air in the atmosphere. Well, that dumped some of the smoke back down.
Mm-hmm.
Without that sort of element, without that sort of that work, all of the smoke stays up high.
Gotcha.
And so, of course, the sun being, fun fact, the earth is not flat when it's round.
This just
the sun
in.
Is far away. And
we're supposed to be non-controversial here. Come on.
I apologize. Nonetheless, smoke high aloft. There is plenty of smoke from the atmosphere, or from the Canadian wildfires, but it is up high.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, what are we doing here?
Don't worry about it.
That's nice to hear. Move along.
Yeah, question for you. Does the storm and heat stick around then for Sunday now that things have been adjusted a little bit?
It's still going to be sticky warm, but just maybe not as, but at the same time, it's still.
And I saw the percent chance of precipitation went down for Sunday night into Monday as well.
Yeah, I mean there's still a chance for sure, but I think if anything, it's pushed its way forward, and maybe mm-hmm. that's why we're not seeing as warm as it's supposed to be, because something that I have sort of noticed is with sort of the climate change that's occurring. Storm systems, I don't know what it is. Maybe this is just my personal perception, is that things slow down but also get stronger.
Yeah, slower but more intense.
Exactly. And so a lot of these systems, and it's kind of counterintuitive in a way that you'd think stronger, faster, right? I don't know. Maybe it's bigger. I haven't looked into it.
Too fast, too furious has got us thinking that.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. That's maybe that's what it is.
I thought we were going to Daft Punk for a minute, but...
Okay.
But
faster,
you know,
stronger.
All of the
work it harder, the make
the,
it
the
better,
warm air
fast, make this
you are all nope. The warm air and everything makes its way to Tuesday and Wednesday and mm-hmm. further instead of Sunday night. Now it's Monday morning, Monday afternoon.
Well, less energy from the sun, making less heat, making less mm-hmm. convection, making less energy to be able to
Yep. You had stated previously the it's hard to find the
good help.
Sort of.
Oh.
Maybe. That could be. Including myself. Here I am, the
that
meteorological
was the joke.
Enthusiast. Wow. Woof. I'll
love
just
you,
see myself out.
Sorry, where are you headed, actually?
There are smoke forecasts and mm-hmm. sort of observational that's called a smoke column. Tells you if smoke's aloft, smoke's on the smoke surface, smoke, high elevation smoke, mm-hmm. things like that. So there are products.
I may not have the right
those.
Like layer turned on it, but the I usually use that fire.airnow.gov.
There is one, and hold on, I will pull it up as I'm making fantastic radio, looking at a screen and telling everybody.
I had COVID in 2021 mm-hmm. that hit my lungs pretty hard, and I've become very sensitive to smoke, so I've started like checking these things periodically, you know, to see how well I can handle being outside in certain situations. So that's the one I've been looking at, and I mean, the air quality down here is fine, but I look up and I can see the mm-hmm. glow from the smoke. So mm-hmm. I'm like, it's there. Why are you not telling me that it at least exists? I don't know.
Yeah, so I actually know the staff meteorologist at the Minnesota Air Quality, the Pollution Control Agency. He's a staff meteorologist there, and I messaged him really quick. Hey, I'm going out to Oshkosh this week, and last year, smoke sucked, right?
Right.
Can you help me find some products that can help me, you know, forecast smoke potentials and things mm-hmm. like that? He's like, oh, boy, do I have links for you. And so there is oddly enough, the Wisconsin DNR is mm-hmm. the one who owns the smoke forecasts and smoke air okay. quality, everything. Minnesota PCA, Pollution Control Agency, owns the ones for Minnesota. Canada, it's a government, federal one, federal, mm-hmm. I guess, government. Canada has a countrywide one, mm-hmm. and so they're probably separated out a little bit. It's harder right. to find, but yes, there are links for them. I can send them.
Send them over. That'd be kind of cool to see. So,
but yes, there's columns. Of smoke, and if it's at the surface or not. And so, yeah, you can kind of see it float around. Really, if anything, you just watch the jet stream, and mm-hmm. if that jet stream is dumping its way down from Alberta and northern Alberta area,
yeah.
then you're probably having smoke. And then it just depends on if that smoke in the jet stream mixes its way down.
Right.
So
we had lots of little dots on there. You can see on the one, I don't know what government agency has this. It's a .gov. It's fire.airnow.gov.
Yes, that is the federal pollution control
okay.
type thing. Fire brigades.
Yeah, it's probably the most useful thing because it tells you what you're actually doing and breathing right now. But
yes,
you know.
Yeah, so
remember last year we had all these wonderful maps of where it was coming in and stuff like that, and I can't find any of that stuff. So, oh well. So, enough smoke talk.
enough smoke talk. We had a bonfire last night. Smoke.
We did. You know, that has actually been a thing for me is in the campground.
Walking around bonfire smoke.
Well, you know, and we're all out in the open air, even for those of us that are in an RV. We got the windows open to keep it cool and stuff because we're not in the 24-hour generator area. So, I get a lot of smoke in the camper that's, I think, leading to some of my... morning coughing and wheezing, which our listeners are very well aware of at this point.
Yes, so. Yes, they are.
There's cough buttons specifically for you too. So
yes, there's a reason for that. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, when you wake us up at, you know,
yes,
extremely early in the morning. Like I was saying on the way in, Super Wacky Inflatable Tube Man was being inflated, and I felt that to my core watching him inflate.
Thank you, Pat St. John. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Absolutely.
All right. Sounds good. Quick question on the texting gateway this morning. Is the morning pre-flight archived anywhere online afterwards? I can only find discrete interviews from the shows later in the broadcast day. I miss being able to review some of the clever banter of Jim and Tommy discussing how the previous day went.
Said the
if
one
I didn't
person
catch them live.
Ever. Just kidding.
We get rid of all
things.
Evidence.
Please seek medical attention immediately. but... the reason we don't archive that is because we don't have much of an evergreen quality
yeah.
here. So
everything we talk about is very in the moment right
yeah.
now.
It's very dated, you know, within seconds of us saying it. Right. If it was ever accurate to begin with.
If it was not dated before, we
exactly.
even said it.
Yes. So, no, we don't. And honestly, no disrespect, we don't intend to because of the lack of evergreen quality. But thank you for listening.
Or
we
just
do
lack
appreciate
of quality.
It. Yeah, well, there's that. Dick Nipinski up next. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
Gracing you with their presence like it's Christmas in July.
I'm fat and bearded. I'm one step away from being Santa myself.
It's the Morning Pre-Flight with Tommy and Santa, Jim. Tommy and Jim.
That's us, Jim. That's
oh,
our
sorry.
Cue.
Sorry, I had disassociated with the Christmas music. So.
Were you checking the? Were you checking your list twice?
Yes.
Is this the Hallmark channel suddenly, or is it?
Well, it kind of is. I mean, we do the same thing every year and repeat it, and yes. So, yet somehow people still want to go take a look at it. So it is very much a Hallmark channel kind of show.
Yeah, and the quality pretty much just gets worse every year.
Right.
Yet they still tune in.
So it's a D-list talent. Yeah, perfect. Our channel it is.
I didn't know I made that good of an analogy starting off the morning.
We've been promoted. We're D-list now. It's amazing. Good morning, Dick.
Yeah, we lost the other letters. Here you go. Take one of those. Yeah.
Dick Nepinski, EA's Director of Communications. Good morning.
Good morning. Day five.
That is the right title, right? Like, I'm not screwing that up yet. Okay, good.
Yeah. You know, we went with PR lump for so long.
Yeah. I didn't know if they moved you into sanitation arts yet or not.
Yeah, so. No, that's fine. Okay. Yeah. So, but... yeah, another great day out there today, expecting, I saw the weather report today, and it said, chance of precipitation, zero, mm-hmm. right across the board, which means they'll get a pop-up shower someplace.
Right. And we've been so spoiled all week. We saw low 80s, like 81, and we went, it's going to be hot. Like,
yeah, that's right.
We don't know how lucky we are.
Yeah. Well, we were talking before we got on here that, our conditioning over press headquarters, I got into there today, and usually there are people in there, and it's nice. It's sure. But this morning, whoa, okay, yeah, the soda stays cold in at that point,
if not frozen.
That's right. But anyway, Gathering was last night, mm-hmm. And a tremendous success. The goal was $2.2 million to raise for the education programs. $2.8 million
Nice. Fantastic.
So excellent.
All that overage goes to you, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's and Sean Tucker, Jimmy Graham were there. We mm-hmm. honored Sean Tucker for his decade of chairmanship for the Young Eagles.
Has it really been that long now?
It's been a decade, end of 2013, he joined us officially as chairman. And it's going to become a trivia game pretty soon. Can you name all the Young Eagles chairmen?
I can hit most of them.
Okay.
I think so. Because Yeager was the first, right? No.
No. Who's the first?
Robertson.
Yes.
That's Cliff Robertson.
I was trying to remember the actor's name. General Yeager.
Yep.
And then Harrison Ford.
Yep.
And then Sully and Skiles.
Yep. That one I remember.
And then Sean Tucker and now Jimmy Graham. Yep. So
I missed the first one. Yep. My bad.
I couldn't think of his name. I knew that one because I remember I was in the museum once and was reading about it. So yeah.
Okay. I said, yep. So there we go. Trivia question for the day. So some of the other stuff, record-breaking fuel of the future. We had the combi bus, the VW microbus. Mm-hmm. That thing was just immaculate. Purchased for $150,000.
Wow.
Given back and sold again for
$140,000. That's amazing.
Yeah. The Carbon Cub went for $290,000.
Wow.
At auction. And the really gratifying number of packages were sold twice. They'd buy it and say, put it back up. Nice. Thank you to everybody who did that, because it goes to Young Eagles, to Aero Educate, to support the programs inside our Youth Education Center. And, those are so important, as this year, Inspiring the Future of Aviation was kind of the overriding theme mm-hmm. of the entire week. And to see that kind of support, really gratifying. So thanks to everybody involved in that. So we have got all of that going. And we've got snowbirds flying today.
Yes. And the changes that we need for the aerobatic box, you might want to... bring that up.
Don't set your chair east of the speaker line, because you will find it won't be there.
You're going to be highly disappointed. Mm-hmm.
And other thing, for people who have airplanes parked, now it's not all the way down. Mm-hmm. It goes down into the vintage parking area, almost to ultralights. But you can go out to your airplane till about noon. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you can be escorted out to your airplane if you have to go get something. Starting at 4:30, though, it's a hard lock. I mean, just...
Thou shalt not.
You better remember everything, because, if you're buying dinner and your wallet's in your airplane, first of all, why is your wallet in your airplane?
Right.
But second of all, you're not going to be able to get out there. Mm-hmm. So you'll have to depend on the largesse of friends.
Right.
Or find some friends or something at that point to buy you dinner. So, again, modified crowd line. Think of the speaker line. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. is the modified crowd line for the afternoon show today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Not for the night show, but for the three afternoon shows today, tomorrow, and Sunday. So just for so people have that in their minds. And so if you're going to set up shop right on the speaker line, then we'll love you. That'll be great.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but looking forward to that. Snowbirds came in, again, late Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I've been talking to their public affairs guy, Captain Phil Rochon, and they are very, very excited to be here. They were at Theater in the Woods last night. Yep. Team was introduced there. They did camp down in Vintage.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. They took down there, got their tents and their sleeping bags, and a lot of photos taken down there, and like, look, I'm camping with the Snowbirds, and that kind of stuff. So it is. It's just one of those things. It's such, not only do they put on a great show, but they're a fun group, and they are just happy to be here. And they're speaking of teams, the Italians came back. Three of the Italians came back on Wednesday, just in civilian clothes, because they had so much fun on Tuesday, and they said we want to spend more time here. And so some of them are coming off the team. They usually have the 2-year rotations for most of the military jet teams, and some of them are coming off and they say we're going to be back next year. This is great. And so we've made some new fans out there.
That's very cool
with that. And I think they've made some fans of their team as well. Because their short little visit on Tuesday, was a lot of fun. But think of this year. Okay. Tuesday, we had the Italian military team. Wednesday, the Blue Angels happened by.
Right.
Thursday, the Thunderbirds happened by. They're flying to Milwaukee this weekend. And you could tell, I wonder if they found out, okay, what did the Blues do on Wednesday?
I knew that was exactly what was happening.
Because when they did the burst at the end, we're just not going to do flyby pattern thing. And now, today, tomorrow, and Sunday, the Snowbirds. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right,
that's a pretty good week right there.
Right. It's not bad.
The Growler team, there, we had one of the Vipers, the F-16s, was part of the Heritage flight. So we've got representation from the Viper team as well. So I mean, I was actually walking around the grounds yesterday trying to do with that same math that you're working on there. I'm like, what do we not have right now?
Oh man, and, the A-10s were here their last year as an air show team, so they were here for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And F-35, F-22, F-16s.
Yeah,
I mean it's
which made for one heck of a Heritage flight.
The Harriers. People. It's one of those one of everything years. Only thing we don't have this year is a C-5.
That was actually one of the questions that somebody asked. It was like, oh, look, that big empty space in the middle. They must be going to be swapping in a C-5. And I'm like,
not so much. We brought the B-29 in. Doc is brought in for the weekend now, so that's right there. Yep. And, of course, we have the Honor flight going on today. So the American airliner will be coming in right at the end of the air show. If you're on the grounds, about 7 or, what was it, 6:45 or so, it took off and got out of here going to Washington today.
That so that's what I heard coming in.
Yep. 5:45 it came in about real early.
No, it was 5:30. I can tell you exactly because my alarm went off at 5:30. My alarm went off at 5:30 and I sat up in bed and I heard the thrust reversers. I'm like, that's not supposed to be here right now.
Those people with that generator next door, that's right. Something, it's got reverse thrusters on a Coleman generator. But that'll be coming back right at the end, not the generator, the Honor flight. It'll be coming back right at the end of the air show. Always one of the great moments of the week. Those vets, that's a full day going out there. And thanks, kudos to Old Glory Honor Flight that puts this all together, including more than 10 Air Venture attendees who were Vietnam veterans. Once again, we opened it up, saved a number of seats for Air Venture attendees. They could sign up, and then we had a random drawing. If you were to be here and say, hey, hop on, love to take you out there. And some of those guys get kind of misty when they get off the airplane and they see thousands of people waiting for them.
Yeah.
The kids, the grandkids. I mean, it's just a great moment that we really, really enjoy. So it's going to be a fun, fun day out there. Again, if you're departing today, safe travels home. It's been a big week. You're probably a little bit tired. Take care of yourself on the way home. Take care of that airplane. And and for the people coming in for the weekend, hey, welcome. You're going to have a great, great weekend around here with all the things going on. So it's also have a friend that we've got some other people. We've had the Chilean Air Force here. They were here. They have a big air show coming up in 2026. And so they came here to see how a big
how
show
it's
is done.
Done right?
And they're probably leaving going, how did they do that? You know, and we answer, we don't know.
Yeah.
And but it is. It's a million moving parts. And I'm sure we'll talk more about that as we finish up the last couple of days. But the big day today. It's the start of the weekend. Let's have some fun. Let's be safe out there and pick up the litter, all of those type of things. The old Paul Poberesny rule. If you see it, pick it up, throw it away.
I have seen a number of people that do not work here or not official volunteers walking around with a little hand pincher thing and a bag, and then they just walk around looking at airplanes and they see something, they pick it up.
Well, thank you to those people. That's great.
I've seen this like three or four different people like that. I'm like, cool, good on you.
It's great. And that's what it's all about. It's what Paul started years and years ago that says these are the Oshkosh rules.
Sure.
You know, if we all do that and keep your patience and your common sense with you, we'll have a great time.
Nice.
Thanks, Dick. Dick Nepinski, EAA's Director of Communications here on EAA Radio. This is the morning pre-flight.
Wake up with your aviation experts, Tommy and Jim.
Oh, there's some planes flying over. I'm sure the mics are picking that up. What was that?
Big round something.
It's the morning pre-flight on EAA Radio.
So, you know, I'm in a Snapchat group with a lot of EAA Radio folks, both current and former.
Yes.
And Jesse...
Yes.
May have sent a soundbite the other day.
I'm sure.
Of exactly that sound effect.
Yeah.
We critiqued his first one and told him it wasn't good enough, so he did another one. Perfect. And then Spencer sent one as well. It's pretty amazing.
Awesome.
Pretty amazing stuff. All former interns here at EA Radio. Jesse was notorious for his Microsoft Paint skills.
Yes.
And airplane noises.
Meow.
Yeah, meow.
And,
oh, hey!
And there's the real thing.
There's one chiming in.
Nice.
Cool stuff.
You know, yesterday, Tommy, we were talking about that TU-95, the Russian TU-95 that was intercepted up north.
Yeah.
Coming in there. Our video producer, Gavin, found some the footage of that.
Really?
Yeah. Which I originally didn't know existed, but fun fact, of course, the U.S. military would never post this. It was posted by the Russians. Kind of a look what we did. If you want to go to our YouTube feed right now, actually, he's playing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you can, here, I'll do this.
I'm going to shift over. Yep.
So this, you can see the props from the TU-95 there.
Uh-huh.
But if you look at what we sent to go visit this TU-95, first of all, you got the F-18 with the tail hook down, which is kind of a universal sign to get out of here. But there's an F-16, an F-35, and two F-18s.
Yeah.
It's like we're going to show them one of everything.
Yep. Yeah, this is just one, folks. Don't mess with us.
Right.
Get out of here.
But no, that was a great shot of some very close encounters.
This literally looks like the Russians were holding I'm sure they were. Just a phone.
It's just a cell phone up to the window with an F-16 not, 30 feet off their wing, with an F-35 about 35 feet over.
Yep.
And then two F-18s with their tail hooks down, providing support over top of those. One side. I'm assuming there's probably something on the other wing, too.
Does the Russian Air Force have a TikTok account? We should watch for it there.
Right? So thank you, Gavin, for finding that and also putting that up on our YouTube stream. So
funny.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. So the one of the discussions, we had the F-22 and F-35 have been doing a show kind of together. They kind of do, they each go up and then they do their own thing and they do a couple of things together.
And then, one does it and then the other one tries to do the same thing.
Right. And it sparks some conversation.
35 isn't as cool and can't do it as well.
Well, kind of. Well,
I've discussion, always been partial to the 22. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
Well, that was the point. The discussion was okay, well, like I've got some first timers that are with us
sure.
In camp and talking about, well, what makes this plane different than that plane? And why is this one like that? And like, well, okay, this one is ground attack and, stuff. This one is air-to-air or air support work, and this one does these things, kind of things and different missions and whatever, which got into a discussion amongst several of the group over, okay, well, why do we have to have a F-16 if we have this lovely stealth F-35 or F-22 kind of thing. You've seen so many both simulated and actual demonstrations of like the air-to-air combat capabilities. To be able to compare these things, and it kind of made big news. And they're like, the F-16 in air-to-air combat will generally outdo the Raptor and the F-35. In an air-to-air combat kind of situation. So everybody's like, oh, look, we're spending all this money on this, you know, fancy new tech that's no better than the F-16s that we've had for, you know, 20, 30 years.
Different roles, though,
but,
too.
But you talk to the people in the Air Force, they're like, yeah, that assumes that we have a clean, a perfectly clean aircraft, meaning, you know, no missiles hanging on and things like that.
Which makes it that much harder in a battle.
Their point was is that there would never be that kind of situation, because the F-16 would never know that the Raptors or the F-35 was even there. They'd be shot down before they even knew it was that was happening. It's like, no.
Not to mention the F-16 is not going to be up against an F-22 or F-35.
It was Gen 5 type aircraft versus some of the traditional stuff there. The point being was that it won't even know that it was happening until they went boom.
Sure.
You know. So, but point is that they each have their own purpose. They have their own function and stuff. So, there's absolutely no reason to not have the F-16s. And, and there's several variants of that. They have a newer version of the F-16 recently that is actually physically larger. It looks identical, but it's actually physically larger than
they're purpose driven, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you need the Corvette, sometimes you need the Kia. So.
Yeah. let's not go into which is which. That would start a fight.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the A-10, you know, they've been trying to replace that forever.
Forever.
You know, and it turns out it does its job so well that they were having a hard time justifying getting rid of it. And I believe that technically they say the F-35 is the replacement for it for close air support. I don't know. I haven't seen the BERT coming out of the F-35. I'm just saying.
They don't build the F-35s around a Gatling gun. So.
You know, I was thinking about that. Could they tuck that in the belly and have, like, you know, they open up the bay doors and that little, you know, that was like Gaud 9, I think it was, kind of whatever it was. But the cannon.
Keep it inside the bay so it still has the stealth,
fire. Suck it back up in. See, now I would support that. I mean, you've got to have that. Come on.
Yeah. Not sure if that's going to quite work. Engineer.
Air Force, get on that.
Sure.
Please.
Too funny.
Yeah. We are going to have the final 2 days coming up with...
Yes.
After
today.
No. Final 2 days of the Fly-In Theater. It's tonight and Saturday. There is no Sunday movie.
Correct.
And I think we're going to end super strong. So tonight is the documentary on the Blue Angels.
Very good if
titled,
you have not seen it.
The Blue Angels.
That's at Fly-In Theater, correct?
Yep, Fly-In Theater. So we're with the Blue Angels in a brand new documentary featuring never-before-seen footage that chronicles a year with the Navy Elite Flight Demonstration Squadron, from selection through the challenging training and demanding show season, showcasing the extraordinary teamwork, passion, and pride that fuels the America's best, the Blue Angels.
Dun, dun, dun. Very cool.
Thunderbirds might disagree.
If you're not a documentary person, I argue. Oh, yeah, no. If you're here, I think you're going
to
love it.
Exactly. If you're an attendee here, you are going to enjoy that show.
Yeah.
By all means, generally the shows start at about 8:30. So you'll catch that one.
It's dusk, right?
Basically.
So around 8:30 right now.
Right. Soar of the Blue Angels, or the Blue Angels documentary, that is tonight at the Fly-In Theater. Tomorrow, The Right Stuff with Ed Harris, Sam Shepard, Dennis Quaid, in a film adaptation of the Tom Wolfe novel chronicling the first 15 years of the U.S. space program. Again, pretty good film. Came out in 1983. I had no idea that it was that old originally.
It's quite old.
Yeah. That is quite old by these days.
Yeah, Ed Harris still had hair, and it's a lot. It's
crazy.
It's a long time ago.
Yes.
No, it's a great film. You know, it's a great quick synopsis of quite a long time period with a lot of events tried to that were captured in it. So, yeah.
Right.
If you haven't seen it, go check it out.
And again, tonight, I believe to be going to be the last opportunity for you to go to the Fun Fly Zone for the Twilight Flight
Fest.
That's right.
It would be tonight.
Because we have the big night show that is going to be on Saturday. And, of course, there's no shows for Sunday evening. Nothing at the Fun Fly Zone, at least, for Sunday evening. So this is going to be your last shot. Unlike the shows earlier in the week, it looks like we're going to have calm winds and good weather, and that means that the stall competition should be super impressive. I have some pretty high hopes on that one. We had an issue earlier in the week where the winds were just wrong and almost everybody was scratching on their landings.
So tonight's shaping up to be a good one then.
Yeah. So tonight's shaping up pretty good for that. So Fun Fly Zone, you're going to have some stall competitions, some power parachutes with lights and pyro, and I don't know if we have the skydivers part of the show. That one is a sometimes kind of thing. Boy, I was going to look up that VTOL aircraft. Darn it.
One we were talking about in the previous segment?
Our Chef Peggy was going to go take for a spin on their flight sim.
Well, if Peggy's listening.
Yeah, Peggy. Stop cooking and
Chef,
come tell us about this thing.
Could you text us 920-550-1210? Or if you're just a mind reader in our listening audience, please tell us what Jim is talking about. Ooh, that could be a fun game every morning we play. What's Jim talking about today? It's always entertaining to listen to us talk through our inner monologues. It's great.
Pretty well, that's what you do, you know.
Yeah, is it? I mean, it is what we do, but
unfortunately. Yeah, I cannot find what the heck that thing is called. I mean, there's we're in a time where it's like, which VTOL aircraft are we talking about, Tommy? Mm-hmm. Because there's more than one these days. And it's all automated when it takes off. It just kind of, goes up and doing well. So it's cool. But they do a flight demo with that, and then some RCs with lights on it, doing some very much extreme RC type flying.
Yeah, those are really, really cool.
It's one of those things that people hear. I think a bulk of them would be like, man.
Yeah, very dismissive of. But I was like, I don't want to watch a guy go fly an RC plane. But it's truly amazing what they do. And a lot of it comes from the power of the engines, but
the thrust to weight ratio is just ridiculous on these things, and
they'll fly like helicopters, no problem. So.
Well, that guy that had it was like an extra or something like that model, is pulling like 25 G's in the turns, 25 to 30 G's in the turns. So it's like they are moving so fast, and then they change directions that you literally can't keep up with it. Your eyes and neck just can't keep up with it.
Amazing stuff.
So,
speaking of changing directions, Hal Bryan's up next. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
In the great studios of EAA Radio, there are currently assembled the world's greatest hosts, gathered through a common love of aviation. Hal Bryan. A co-worker.
But I did find a co-worker.
Hal Borg.
Who is that AI or is this somebody who has me really going down?
Powdered Toast Man. And the Wonder Twins, Tim and Jami, with their producer monkey, Alan.
Hey, that's us.
Their mission: to fight boredom, to right that which is wrong, and above all, to cause shenanigans.
Wow.
Good morning, Al.
I cannot wait until I see the Wonder Twin powers activate. Now, which one of you is useful and turns into an animal? And which one
turns into a bucket of water?
Just water. Yeah, form of an ice hammer. Okay.
Yes. That happens at the campsite nightly. So.
And kudos to whoever did the announcing. That was spot on.
Yeah.
Or was that a human?
Probably.
Probably.
At one time.
That was amazing.
Halfway through producing that last night, I had second thoughts, and I may have reached out to someone and said, was Hal a fan of Super Friends? And the answer I got was, what do you mean? What's with the past tense was the answer I got.
That sounds about right. So, once again, you have a mole in my marriage. So I appreciate...
I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
Oh, I see. You're uncomfortable? That's what's happening here?
I've got nothing else, sorry.
That's quite all right. It's Friday.
It is.
Right? It is Friday.
I think so, yes. It is Friday. So, well, thanks for coming back, Al. And I see, once again, you've conned one of your coworkers into coming with you. So
I absolutely have. And it's really, really nice to... we're calling this her yearly checkup. last year was this is Emmy, my production coordinator.
Hi. Morning.
And last year was her first air venture on my team. I think second air venture overall at VAA. So I thought, well, let's bring her back and see what's happened in a year. See if she's cynical and burned out or still chipper and enthusiastic.
Does that happen a lot on your team?
So anyway, did I tell you guys that Super Friends thing? That rocked.
It's called working in the media. Yeah, it gets it. So, Emmy.
Hey.
Are we in the same role as you have been previously?
Yeah, so last year I was a production coordinator, and that's still my title. So I'm just making sure Hal stays on track, doesn't get into any trouble.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, well, I have my hands full, so.
Yeah, so Hal Handler. Got it.
Yep.
Hal Handler. You know, we all, of course, during AirVenture, everybody wears a zillion different hats. And, you know, Emmy's role on the newspaper really becomes a very strong, like, three-way hybrid of production coordinator, just traffic cop, keeping everything flowing. You know, something comes in, Emmy routes it, gets it to the right place, all that stuff. But she's really also stepped up into a role of an assistant editor on the paper, and she's quite a writer as well, and just cranks it out. I don't know where she finds the time, but I'm lucky she does.
Right.
We'll just leave it at that.
So as somebody who's overseen both the production side and writing, what kind of a turn time do you guys have to deal with? Like, oh, look, there's something cool happening that should be on, you know, this paper. How do you crank that out in time to actually get it in the presses?
You can tell them our dark secrets, Emmy.
What are our dark secrets? I do think it's just dark magic. That's how we get the newspaper done. No.
Which is also what fuels Emmy and her supernatural abilities.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things, I was kidding about dark secrets, as you know, right? You all know that?
So wink, wink, nod, nod.
Yes, exactly. We do work. We work well ahead.
Yeah.
And, you know, wherever possible. And, you know, the newspaper across the board, but, you know, ours in particular certainly has evolved a bit. I mean, we've got the daily schedule and that stuff in there. But it is no longer the primary source for breaking news.
Right.
You know, so with all the other channels, the social and the app and the web and the blog and all these other things.
And here
we have
a radio station.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird how that works.
Yeah. It's kind of a fad, I guess, but that's cute, though.
So did I just hear somebody from newspaper saying that radio is going to be a time season? I don't think so.
Hey, I'm the one who made the jump from social media to grasp a future in print journalism. So,
right. I mean, this is like watching my grandfather's fights right now.
Exactly. They took a pint of fluid out of my lower back. Anyway, so... We do have quick turn things, but when I talk about working ahead, we work ahead with a lot of just good fun around the ground stories that may not be specifically locked to a particular date or a particular mm-hmm. issue.
Sure.
We bring in a lot of that warmer kind of thing, and we get that worked out as much as possible, working a day or even 2 days ahead, so that we do have resources to turn around something quicker when it does come up.
Do you kind of like save a page for something that's going to pop up?
Kind of. I mean, I tend to, well, let me just put it this way. So every morning I come in, I've got a big sheet, thanks to a gifted and also sort of imbued with dark magic designer, Marie. It's called a dummy, and it's, which is...
It's fitting.
You guys want to take that?
It's fitting.
I'll wait.
Okay.
I mean... You can't lob those up there and expect us not to spike them. So.
Look, that wasn't even a lob, okay? It's T-ball. I just set it in front of you with a bow on it.
Yeah,
and that's got, you know, all the ad placements and all the departments and things laid out, and then it's got the blank spots. The best answer to question is, say, when I fill that out, I do it in pencil.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Good idea.
It's the one time a year that I use pencils. Oh.
So what have you what have you taken from what you did last year and decided, oh, now I've learned this. Now here's how I need to do this year because I know what I'm getting into.
So I've made a lot of spreadsheets, as my team knows. I'm all about that, very organized. But just stories-wise, I understand how much time I have that I can go and spend with the volunteers and our visitors, and that's kind of my favorite part is just mm-hmm. getting to talk to the people that come here and make this yearly trip or even a once-in-a-lifetime trip, and I love hearing their stories, and it's really great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Emmy is at, rare, in my experience, sort of right brain, left brain mix. Although I would say I think we have a fair amount of that on our team as a whole, because I am the luckiest man at EA in terms of, or at least the luckiest manager at EA, I'll say that. It was interesting what you said there. I mean, you do the spreadsheets, you have, because you are supremely well organized, and that's what keeps the whole ship afloat and moving in the right direction. And that's that sort of left brain analytical side, but you do that to free you up to go enjoy, you know, the right brain, the creativity side of things. Anything that I need that's to do to remember or keep track of that's important, I put it in her brain.
It's the storage place for Hal's brain.
Yeah, it's a storage unit. Because, you know,
Just got to find him every now and then, do the upload. And,
yeah. So, like, micro SD or what's going on?
It's, you've got some adapters.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's like a petabyte SSD, super high speed. And I'm very lucky.
Right. I also love finding the first timers, the noobs. And especially for those of us that like have seen things in the show, or we know when we're walking, we know what's going to come around that corner. And I'm like watching, waiting for the reaction, you know?
Exactly.
I mentioned yesterday the Kent Peach doing the Jelly Belly routine when he pulls the alien arm off.
Yeah.
I love watching new people with that. Like,
because most of the time, for the non-pilots out there, most of the time when we fly, we don't like it when pieces fall off the airplane. That's one of the first things they teach you.
Generally, we need all of the control surfaces to stay afloat.
Try to land with the same number of parts as when you took off.
Seems like rule one, yes. So.
Right. Oh, we're starting to get suggestions on what we should be doing to you in the intros.
Yes, somebody's behind the times here.
Yes, we've done that.
Here's
one.
Our first suggestion. You should do a Saturday Night Live parody to introduce the Hal Bryant segment for tomorrow. I think that's literally where we started.
I was going to say, there is something vaguely familiar about that. And I hear Bobby Moynihan in my head.
A piece of toast.
A piece of toast.
What are we going to do to him tomorrow?
Time will only tell. But before
I've heard things playing in the background of my office a few times.
And I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't think we're done with you yet.
None of that happened.
It's your office. Tell us over.
Emmy, before I forget, I just want to present you with the official I Was on EA Radio with Hal sticker. So
I was actually the mysterious coworker. I didn't design them. That was our dark magic designer, Marie, but I did bring them in.
Nice.
That was a top secret mission.
We were wondering who it was.
Yeah.
Now we know. Now we know.
And now we know.
Speaking I coordinated of, it, you could say.
And knowing is half the battle. So, thanks for coming in, Hal. Nice meeting you. Or nice seeing you again, yeah, Emmy,
thanks
actually.
Thanks for welcoming me back into the building and not locking me out.
Well, we almost did because, you know, because of who you brought with
the,
you.
So. The company she keeps.
Yes, exactly.
But don't worry, the standards are very low here.
Very, very, very low. Speaking of low standards, Hot Start is up next. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EA Radio.